You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The community of Africville is one of the oldest black communities in Canada. It is located in Halifax, Nova Scotia. For nearly 200 years, the residents of Africville faced systematic racism and negligent government policies. The community was denied many public services and was cited for several toxic and insanitary facilities. In 1960, the residents were forcefully displaced under a project the city described as urban renewal. On February 24th, 50 years after Africville was destroyed, the city of Halifax gave an official apology and compensation for the displacement. Denise Allen is a former resident of Africville and a longtime justice campaigner. She brought the issues that her community faces to the United Nations in 2001. Today she joins us from Halifax. Hello, Denise.
Hello.
Now, can you just tell us what happened in during the 1960s in Africville?
Well, in the 60s, after having been home to many hazardous industries, which basically degraded the community of Africville to that what was being reported over the news as an eyesore to the city of Halifax, they decided, they meaning the government, decided to destroy Africville and forcefully relocate the people of Africville to other areas. I should mention that it's 400 years of racism that the people of Africville endured, not 200 years. They had properties. The first recorded deed was recorded in 1800s, but they had been living out there long before that. And also, the people of Africville owned property, and they paid taxes like everyone else, but they received nothing for their tax dollars. They didn't receive any of the services that the broader Halifax residents enjoyed. You know, they didn't get water and sewage. They didn't even get public education. They were prohibited by law from attending public schools until 1957. As well, there were three sets of trains tracks running through their front backyards, and there were three dump sites. There was an infectious disease hospital, a tannery, nail and coal factory. There were so many hazardous industries that to every house there had to have been at least for every out of the 80 homes that were there, for every home that was there, there were more than one hazardous industry in Africa. So all of this help to erode the quality of the community down to what the city felt was enough to rid themselves of the community. But there were also very beautiful areas of Africville that could have still been something that the residents of Africville would have appreciated. And in the 50s, the province of Nova Scotia did say, and which I don't know what happened to this, that they would build homes in these areas for the people of Africville, detached homes to replace the ones that they were going to destroy. However, that never materialized. And the people of Africville, who were homeowners and independent, were forced to, well, where most of the people from Africville are now tenants rather than homeowners, because they were relocated to public housing versus home ownership, which is what they had when they had their community of Africville. For some, they did purchase other homes elsewhere in the city or else outside of the province, but the majority of them are tenants. And also, I'd like to say that the school system, once we were forced to get our own schools and our own teachers without any aid from government, but after they introduced us to the public school system, all Africville children were degraded to that of a slow learner, and they were placed into auxiliary classes, and not one child ever graduated out of those slow learner classes right? But prior to that, the children of Africville, and when we had our own schools, went from grade 7 to grade 10. So there was nothing wrong with the children's intellect prior to the public education system. And also I'd like to mention that the Halifax, the 1917 Halifax explosion, destroyed all of Africville. And despite there was $500,000 left over, we didn't receive 1 cent of that money to help rebuild our community. As a matter of fact, we didn't even get medical aid, blankets, or anything. So we had to rebuild our community, take care of our injured, and also bury our dead without any outside help. We did that, and still, for all, you know, this is the thanks we get today with this so-called deal that was struck.
Well, turning a little to that deal, you fought a long time for reparations, and this included approaching the United Nations. What did the United Nations identify as a solution for the injustices?
The United Nations said all levels of government had a hand in the destruction of Africville. As well, all of the businesses in Africville also helped to strangle and degrade the community of Africville. Therefore, all levels of government and the businesses that had a hand in their destruction should pay reparations and pay the people of Africville an indemnity.
And the mayor last week delivered the first official apology to former residents of Africville. What was the content of that apology?
He basically gave his condolences. He began by saying that he was sorry for their loss. He was sorry that we lost our homes and our community, our heritage, our culture, our dignity, and all of those horrible things. But basically, that is like saying that we died of natural causes, or that we lost it, but it was our fault. So I found the first part of his apology to be blaming us for what happened to us, and them not taking any responsibility for their role in the destruction of the community of Africville, and the pain and suffering that we were forced to endure.
And did his apology include things like acknowledging the past racism of the government?
No, as a matter of fact, one member of the government mentioned racism. There's no mention of racism in Mayor Kelly's apology.
Now, along with the apology, there was a compensation agreement. In your view, is it an adequate agreement?
Well, compensation isn't really compensation. What it does is it gives you what more of the same. It's giving you two statues. One is a replica church. It's not a functioning church. It's just a building that they're going to construct. It's a replica of the church that we once had in our community. You can't go in there to worship. You can't go in it at all. It's just a structure that they're going to build. The interpretive center, from what I understand, doesn't even have washroom facilities. So that will just be a structure that will house, artifacts commemorating our community. So, in other words, that building, to me, sounds like it's a tourist attraction. Both structures are like a tourist attraction. So who's going to benefit from that but Tourism Nova Scotia? Not the people of Africville. The 2.5 acres that they say they're going to donate to the people to the Africville Genealogy Society, you can't build homes on it. So how does that compensate for 400 years of racism? I don't see where that even equates to anything at all. It's less than nothing, because we're not going to benefit from it. And they say that our children will benefit by learning about their heritage. Well, what have they learned other than the fact that we have nothing? And once we had a vibrant community, a thriving community, and we no longer have it. So what is their inheritance? Zero. Nothing. A memory of something that was once wonderful. What we're leaving behind is a debt to our children, a memory, a horror story. That certainly is not payment or an indemnity that the United Nations spoke of. You see, the bar was set by the United Nations. They've reduced it to less than nothing. The government of Nova Scotia.
And how was this agreement negotiated? How did it take place?
Well, and that's another thing, too. It was negotiated, but negotiations means there's give and take. You talk and I talk and there's consultation, there's dialogue back and forth. This deal was orchestrated by the government, and it was given as an ultimatum to the Genealogy Society representatives, so-called representatives, who, at the very last hour, prior to the public ceremony, I got a call from someone from Africville. I didn't get a call from the Genealogy Society that that this information session was taking place on Saturday. The deal, the ceremony was on a Tuesday. The city councilors voted on it on Monday. So how much time did you have even to digest it? And it just was everything was signed, sealed, and delivered long before the people even knew that there was a deal struck.
Well, can you tell us a little bit more about the Africville Genealogy Society? Who is on that? Who is a member of that society? Who belongs to that society?
Well, automatically, if you had, according to our bylaws, if you lived in Africville for 5 or more years, you're a member of the Genealogy Society. If you're married to somebody who is from Africville, you're automatically a member of the society, or the descendants of someone who lived in Africville. You're automatically a member of the society. The representatives who hadn't held an annual general membership meeting in accordance with the bylaws, then they're in default or they're in non-compliance with the Societies Act. So that's why I try to basically put the city of Halifax on notice that the genealogy societies, they're not in any official capacity to negotiate anything. Therefore, now that you know, if you continue to negotiate with the genealogy society, the deal that you're voting on will be null and void, and you're going to just start all over from scratch. This time, instead of excluding the people that were affected by what you did in the past, in the 60s, they'll have an opportunity to be included into what the compensation should look like.
And generally speaking, how did the community respond to this compensation and the apology?
Well, they don't understand it. You see, when they hear church, they think they're getting their church. They don't hear the operative word, which is replica. All they hear is church. When they hear we're going to get an interpretive center, what they think is going to be something that will be functioning, where they'll be able to hold their weddings and things like that, they don't realize that these are symbolic gestures that don't equate to anything. You won't be able to even hold a wedding there because it's not built for that. There's no washrooms. It won't be that large to hold a ceremony in there. It's just a place where you go in and come out, you see. It's nothing where you can hold like a recreation center where you'll be able to visit there all the time and spend quality time there at all. So they misunderstand even the $3.5 million. What that is for is to build those two structures. And it's not even completely to my knowledge, I mean, my understanding, I wasn't given a copy of the actual deal that was struck. But from what I understand, it's the interest on $3.5 million. It's not the full $3.5 million. And I understand why they would do that, is because once you're just spending the interest, you'll always have the $3.5 million. But at the same time, I don't even think with the interest, once the lawyer's fees and everything get absorbed out of it, if there will be hardly any monies to even build those two structures, which is why I say that we're going to leave behind a debt for future Africville descendants. And then they said that they were going to create a Halifax Region African Nova Scotian Affairs Department, similar to the African Nova Scotia Affairs Department, but at the municipal level. Well, the monies to pay for that, those administrative costs, will also be borne by the $3.5 million. So really, there's nothing in it, which the city said we will not, and this is another reason why I say that the deal was basically shoved down the throats of our so-called representatives, because the city of Halifax said that they definitely, if the Genealogy Society continues to push forward individual compensation, they won't even talk to them anymore. And it's been going on for, what, 40 years? The only holdup was the society and the people of Africville were demanding individual compensation, such as what the community of Sackville received, such as what other groups who were harmed received in Canada, the First Nations for their residential schools, the Chinese for the head tax, the Hebron people for their forced relocation. They all received individual compensation. Those are just a few examples. They all received individual compensation. But when it comes to the people of Africville, for what they endured, they're not even worth as much as a soccer field, which is what they're giving to the community of Clayton Park in Halifax. That cost $10 million. But for the whole issue of Africville, for 400 years of racism, we're not even valued as much as a soccer field, because what we're getting is one-third, less than one-third of $10 million, of a $10 million cost to build a soccer field.
Thanks very much for illuminating this issue for us today.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Denise Allen. She is a longtime activist for Africville Justice and was the author of the report to the United Nations concerning the legacy of Africville injustice.